gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1195. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me for this week, the man himself, Paris Lilly. Paris, what's going on, man?
What's going on, man?
Everything's good, man. Very, very hype. This month has been crazy with all these game releases, and we're going to talk about a couple of things of games that's coming out in the future, too, man, later on in the episode, man, so... Very excited. Shout out to everybody that's on Twitch watching us. And for those who are listening from around the world here, listen to the podcast, man. And actually, Paris, before we continue. Oh, I see. I see Rihanna just ninja style behind me. She doesn't want to come on camera, but okay. So we're going to be talking about a couple of things. But Paris, I just got a notification on LinkedIn. Because somebody said congratulations, and I found out that this week, Friday, actually, is our 17th anniversary of Gamertag Radio. We're a bunch of dinosaurs, man.
I know,
still,
man.
Still doing this thing, man. So, all right, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You can find us on any podcast app. All you have to do is just search for Gamertag Radio, follow, subscribe, and also post a review. Continue to post the reviews. I've been reading it. I've been seeing it also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So please continue. We'll support us so much, man. So also, if you'd like to be part of our family discussion or segment, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so yesterday was FanFest at IGN. Shout out to the whole crew over there. And during the stream, they had Kiki Wolfkill. She's the Halo executive producer and also works at 343 Industries. They had an interview with her about the series. And she says, for the first time in 20-plus years, we're going to see Master Chief's face. I don't know how I feel about that, Paris. It's kind of strange for me, man. She said that, I'm going to read exactly what she said. She said, I think we set out to tell a character story and a personal story. And once we really got into what the story was, it became clear that you really needed to see the person in the armor and under the helmet. You will see his face, she confirmed. For some people, it's been a moment 20 years in the making. And for other people, it is something that feels very hard to imagine. We absolutely respect both sides of the fence. Those who really want to see Chief's face and those who really don't. But for the nature of the story, it felt really important to connect with Master Chief in a different way and what that meant showing the face. Now, Paris, I personally don't like this idea. I know there's going to be a mix opinions about this. I don't know. I just love the whole mystery behind not showing Master Chief's face, man. Do you feel the same about this, or are you curious how they're going to pull this off during the series next month?
Yeah, I mean, I had even tweeted about this yesterday when the news came out. Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. I would rather be it in the game, obviously, or on television or in a movie. I don't need to see his face. Part of the appeal of it is always having that mystery of not seeing him, because it started off, obviously, in the game is you are Master Chief in that sense. And I understand it's evolved over time. Like even now with Halo Infinite, this is probably the most that Master Chief has actually spoken and evolved as a character, you know, in the entire series. I get it. I don't know. It's just for me, I just feel like you're taking away from the mystique of Master Chief by doing that, because whether for me anyways, I'm just my opinion. By revealing his face in the TV show, I'm always going to kind of relate that to the game moving forward. So I would personally rather them not reveal his face and just leave it as is. And you can get away with it and do it in a way, because I saw comments, people, oh, you have to do it because you need to see his face to portray these emotional moments, this, that, and the other. Disagree, because go to Halo Infinite. I feel like Master Chief really emoted a lot in that game, and I never saw his face. You can pull it off. And I get people were comparing it to The Mandalorian, things like that. And yeah, we've seen his face, but we went a long time without seeing his face. And I never once was like, I got to see Pedro Pascal, or I can't believe, you know, this bond that he has with Grogu, right? No. So I don't think we need to see his face for Master Chief to actually continue to evolve as a character in the television show.
Yeah, and I agree. There was moments in Halo Infinite that it got emotional, man, in there without seeing his face. So exactly. I totally agree with you about that, man. So, and I think they're doing this because of the whole audience, man, the different audiences they're trying to get, man, you know. And then I think that will be helpful for more people to get into the story of Halo, maybe buy the products, the games in the future because of the series. And yeah, and I heard also a couple of days ago they announced that season 2 is gonna happen too. So, and the show hasn't even been released yet, you know. So, but I heard there's gonna be like some premieres and like screenings before the release of the series next month, I believe. I think it's March 24th or 25th is coming out.
Something like that.
So yeah. So hopefully, if we get to see it early, I would love for us to talk about it here, man, you know, on the podcast. I'm very, very curious about the whole thing, man. So are you excited for the series? It looks interesting. I'm very, very curious.
I'm definitely interested to see it. I'll give it a shot. I'm always wary with these kind of shows that translate from a game, because has there ever been a successful one? I can't, off the top of my head, think of one.
Arcane.
Yeah, that's true. Arcane. But look, Arcane. I'm definitely not against it. I want to see how it comes out. I'm going to give it a fair shot. But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, or The Witcher. Shout out to Arcane.
Yeah, duh.
The Witcher is a good one.
But to be fair, they're basing that Witcher show off of the books, not the game.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. I'm trying to think of other shows that, well, I know they're working on The Last of Us. That one comes out 2023, yeah. I read. I think there's been more success with animated TV shows based on from games. I think on Netflix, like Castlevania has been good. I think Cuphead just came out recently. I got to watch that. So yeah, I think there's more animated than live ones. So, but more companies are putting... are down to invest more money on creating TV series based on games. I think one recently that, and I'm very curious to hear your thoughts about this, Paris, BioShock TV series.
Same thing. Let's see. Let's wait and see how they're able to pull it off. I'm a huge fan of the series, obviously, but I'll be very curious to see how that translates to live action. How did they portray the big daddies, obviously the little sisters, just the whole, the entire story. So we'll see.
Ooh. Well, speaking about Halo Infinite, Paris, EA reportedly said that Halo Infinite surprise launch hurt Battlefield 2042. I totally disagree with this. I think that's just an excuse. Let's talk about why the game was not a success.
Wasn't it bugs? Yeah, it was success because it was all the technical issues and the bugs, which, you know, and I talked about this too. And the community said this at the time during the beta. I know I definitely was saying, I was like, do not put this game out now. It's not ready. Delay it. It probably needs at least another 6 months, if not more, you know, to fix all the issues that we're seeing just in the beta. But they put it out anyways, and here we are. So to kind of wrap Halo Infinite into it is ridiculous as well, because regardless, if they stealth launched it too early, just the fact that Halo Infinite was a mostly bug-free experience versus your game, which was filled with bugs, I don't buy that. So, yeah, like you said, it comes off as an excuse, in my opinion.
You know what this reminded me of, Paris? This reminded me of the game that came out from BioWare. It was like Destiny. Oh, my God.
Anthem.
What's the name of it? Anthem. There you go. This reminded me of Anthem because I believe there was also an excuse for that too.
Once again.
And you were there when they invited a bunch of gamers to check out the game You know what I'm saying? So I don't get it.
Yeah. I mean, just we're, you know, and we've talked about this in the past, but yeah, I was a part of the, what's the word you want to look up? But I was basically a part of the preview of Anthem as far as getting feedback directly to BioWare. You know, I'd went up there and played the game early and they wanted to know what we think, because there was a lot of people that were big into Destiny at that time and they wanted us to come play the game, give our feedback on it. And even then we were saying, I think this, what was that, like September timeframe or something before it came out?
It was really early.
Don't put this game out. We said it. We literally said it directly to BioWare. Do not put this game out. And they put it out anyway.
But it's tricky, though. It is tricky because I know the devs want to make a great game, right? They don't want to release a buggy mess, but it's the higher-ups, Paris. They're the ones telling them, we have to release on this day, this is the deadline, and that's it. You know, there was people that I met years ago, this is like the early days of GTR, that started working in the video game industry, right? And that was the first time them experiencing that of higher up saying, no, we have to release this game on this day. We'll figure out the bugs later. Because, I mean, there's a lot of politics behind the scenes about that, man. So, you know, the devs that you met, they weren't saying, no, Paris, we're going to release this game no matter what. And to the other gamers that were at the event, they know that the game is a mess, you know? So in a way, I feel bad for them. And same thing with like CD Projekt Red with Cyberpunk, you know. It's tricky, man. It's tricky
about this. It is. It's unfortunate. I mean, I get, you know, there's stockholders and, you know, financial core. There's all this nonsense. I shouldn't say nonsense, but there's all these other factors that go into why a game comes out when it does. But ultimately, you're doing more harm than good when you put out a game that you know is not ready.
So as a gamer, Paris, what, and the consumers, what do you think we should do when we see something like this, man? Because people get excited and they'll buy the game and it's already too late. You know, sometimes they'll wait for a bug. Sometimes they can't get the money back. You know, should we continue to support, you know, games like this? Not support it at all, or just wait and see approach?
I mean, I kind of think we're in an age now of social media. You're already seeing people being very vocal about this. It's up to the company whether they want to listen to their community or to their consumers or not. I mean, you know, we've said this for years, you got to vote with your wallet. So when you see stuff like this, you know, no, don't buy the game. Or if you have bought the game, because there's like even, you know, people asking for refunds with 2042. And we even saw it with Cyberpunk a year ago where, you know, the companies had to start refunding people because it's unacceptable to put out these games half baked. You know, I'd rather a game like, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about more about Cyberpunk in a second. I would rather Cyberpunk launch right now versus have come out in December 2020. All the goodwill and everything that CD Projekt Red had built up, you know, was lost because they rushed that game out when it shouldn't have been out, right? We're seeing this with the Battlefield series. Now, this is two Battlefields in a row that was rushed to market and shouldn't have come out when it did. You're doing more harm than good. I mean, Microsoft, thankfully, was smart enough to say, you know what, let's delay this thing a year. And, you know, Halo Infinite still has its issues, right? Let's not get that twisted. But I don't even want to imagine what that game would have looked like if it came out in 2020, you know, compared to now, right? So this is the result that you get. Again, Anthem, we talked about that. That never should have come to market the way that it did either. So what's going to start happening is, yeah, people are just going to stop supporting these companies and these games because there's way too many other options out there that people could be playing.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this the other day, Paris. I think games like No Man's Sky and Cyberpunk 2077 completely change everything for consumers, right? Now people are being even more vocal on social media, that even the media, major mainstream media, has been picking up the conversation, what people have been saying online. And I think it's important for us to be vocal about these things. And like you said, vote with your wallet, man. If there's something you just don't like, don't agree, don't buy it. You know, do you feel like those games change everything when it comes to like the consumers being very picky more than ever on buying games? Because that's the thing that I've been thinking about like the past few weeks, man. Ever since the new update of Cyberpunk came out last week.
Yeah, I mean, you would hope so. I mean, we also have to remember, you know, people like us, people that listen to the show, we represent a small percentage of the overall people that that buy games. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see. I mean, I'll say this. I mean, you look at even like we talk about Call of Duty. Yeah, it's still the number one selling game, but the returns on it have been getting smaller year after year, right? But then you look at something like Cyberpunk, it sold very well because people ran out and buy it. And when it ran out and bought it, you know, day one, and the amount of people that actually asked for a refund was small. But is that going to affect the next game that comes from CD Projekt Red? I don't know. We've obviously seen with Battlefield, it underperformed compared to 5 going into 2042. So there has definitely been some, you know, consumers are being more cautious about the games that they're purchasing day one, especially now that games are they're starting to be $70 a pop. You know, you want to make sure that you're getting a great experience, you know, day one versus, you know, promises and, oh, well, don't worry, we'll fix it. People are tired of hearing that, I think.
Yeah, it's very, very tiring, you know, and yeah, I mean, everybody be vocal. For those that are listening, you know, we'd love for us to hear your feedback about this. Just hit us up, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or give us a call, 76-273-7GTR.
Let me say this. And look, full disclosure, we obviously get games early, review codes, things like that. So the truth of the matter is I don't have to buy a lot of games day one because, you know, we get them because, you know, for our opinions, basically, right? But if I were not getting games, if I had to go out and spend my own money on games, I would be extremely picky for anything that I would buy day one, because I value my time and my money, right? So like this whole Battlefield 2042, there was no way in hell I would have bought that game day one because I saw what the beta was. I probably would have bought Cyberpunk day one because they clearly didn't show us all the issues ahead of time. So they would have fooled me, but hey, if they're offering a refund, I would have got a refund on it, right? There's no way I would be buying any Call of Duty right now day one, because I just don't see the value in that franchise anymore. You know, Horizon Forbidden West, yep, would have bought it day one because I trusted the developer. I loved the first game. I would have went in. Everything I saw was up to my expectations. But I definitely try to do my homework on a game before I buy it, especially right away. Because if I'm not sure about it, wait a few weeks. Because if you wait a few weeks, what's going to happen? Game's going to be cheaper. You know, this is where, you know, look, I can already hear people, you know, rolling their eyes, but this is where Game Pass has value because, you know, I'm already subscribed, so it doesn't hurt to try a game day one. And if it doesn't meet my expectations, I'm going to put it down and move on to something else, you know. And I understand not everyone's going to get Game Pass and not every game that you want to play is going to be in Game Pass. So it doesn't necessarily translate, you know, one to one. But, you know, this hobby's not cheap. So when these developers are giving us things that aren't meeting our expectations, yeah, of course it's going to make me hesitant. What I'm not going to blindly just go buy games anymore. Look, it's not like in the 80s, you know, when we didn't have the internet and you just had to buy it off of hope. You was like, I hope this is good. You just went by the box cover because that's all you had. You didn't have anything else to go by. So my advice to anyone is you don't necessarily have to get a game day one. You can wait. Wait for reviews. Wait to see what your peers are saying. Wait to see, you know, just overall the sentiment about a game. See if it's buggy or not. If there's a beta, check that out before you actually purchase the game. Because as we see right now, a lot of these games are coming in half-baked, and that's just unacceptable.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. And speaking about the 80s, Paris, you know how we used to get updates back in the days?
You didn't.
If there was like, no, there was a way. There was a way. The only way was this. If okay, let's say the first shipment of the game is out, that's the real version, right? A couple months later, maybe like a second, third, fourth shipment of that game, you might get the update that's not the same as the first shipment. Like that was the only way mm-hmm. people would get an update, unless you buy the game later instead of like day one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, that's that was crazy weird back in the days, but hey. That was for us, man. For you know what I'm saying? So, but here's the thing. Back then, Paris, when there was bugs in the game, we got so used to it, we had to play the game like that no matter what. We there was no way for us to make those changes and make it even better. You know, like there was a time where people bought, let's say, Mike Tyson Punch Out, right? And when Nintendo decided to remove Mike Tyson from the game, they removed him, but that was like later in the future, if you rebuy the game, he wasn't there anymore. It was like a totally different character. I think it was about Mr. Dream. I think it was called.
Yeah, Mr. Dream, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it was very complicated back in the days. Or even when you play a game like Super Castlevania for Super Nintendo, right? There's an area in the game, I think it was like in the caves, that he was like super slow, the character, and I'm like, well, I had to deal with this because there was so many rocks, like there was so many things going on, it was just too much for the console, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, memories. By the way, speaking about Nintendo, Paris, I know you were on my Twitter Spaces a couple of days ago. I had Kevin Kenson, shout out to him, cool YouTuber, man, great content. He was always releases about Nintendo. So we were talking about the announcement last week about Nintendo announced that the 3DS and also the Wii U eShop is going to get shut down in March of 2023. So controversy is pretty bad. People have been, you know, being really, really vocal about this, man. But I know that the Video Game History Foundation criticized Nintendo for being, and I quote, destructive toward video game history due to this news of the store closures, man. I released an episode last week. Make sure to download it. I said my piece about this, man. As a Nintendo fan, it's very disappointing hearing this news. This has been happening multiple times from Nintendo. I would like to get your quick, you know, opinion about this, Paris, as a fan of Nintendo. Do you get frustrated when you hear news like this that the eShop is getting shut down? It's going to be kind of hard to find these games online, man,
well,
in the future.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because it goes back to why you see there's an audience out there that prefers physical copies of games, right? Because the fear is that these digital stores can go away at any moment without warning, and you have no way to be able to basically catalog or keep these legacy games that you know that you may have purchased or want to redownload. You know, you get what I'm saying, right? But it's so yeah, and we joke, Nintendo's Nintendo, they keep doing this to us and we're dumb enough to keep buying their games. But at some point, you know, and you know, obviously PlayStation flirted around with that as well, with it was the Vita store, right? I believe. You know, We keep saying that, oh, Microsoft is doing this great thing because, you know, they're committed to keeping all their legacy titles on there. But what if one day they decide they don't? What are you going to do? What if Steam decides, you know what? We're out. All those things gone. I mean, we're clearly seeing right now with Google, with Stadia, to anyone that's invested in those games in their digital store, it's about to go away, whether you like it or not. I will be shocked, honestly, a year from now if the Stadia store is still a thing. So what happens to all those games? What are you able to download them? How are you going to play them? So, yeah, it is frustrating to see something like this because you're in a way literally just renting a license that can be revoked at any point. And there's very little you as a consumer can do about that to get any of these things back. So I get it. And the spaces that you did was pretty spot on.
Yeah, my question to you though, Paris, like, when was the last time you bought a physical game? Because it's been years.
You know, it's funny bringing Cyberpunk back into, and I didn't buy it. CD Projekt Red gave it to me, but CD Projekt Red gave me a physical copy of Cyberpunk for the Xbox. That is literally the quote unquote only next gen physical copy I have. Everything else I have is digital. I would say, wow, the last physical copy I bought, it might be Horizon Zero Dawn.
Really?
Yeah. I think because I well Switch games, I guess I've been buying. So if you want to count Switch games, yeah, I've bought Switch physical copies of Switch games, like Mario Odyssey as an example. But I think like on PlayStation or Xbox, I'm pretty sure it's Horizon Zero Dawn was probably the last physical copy that I bought.
You know what? I'll tell you my last two physical games that I bought. Spider-Man, your first Spider-Man PlayStation 4, and also Marvel Odyssey. There was a special for Prime subscribers that I think they had like a discount.
And I think that's it was when they were doing all that, and you could get it cheap. And I think that's what it was. Yeah.
But yeah. I miss those days where, you know, you get to go to the store. It's a big line of people just waiting, you know, for the game or for the product to come out, you know. I miss those days, man. Now everything I just buy in digitally and just download and everything like that, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, man, Nintendo. Oh, Nintendo. Making it harder, man. All right, Paris, and I know you're super excited about this, man. Destiny, the Witch Queen is coming out on Tuesday. I really don't know much about the expansion. You don't have to explain everything, but my question to you, as a person that haven't really been playing Destiny very long time, Destiny 2, what is it that got you excited about the expansion, man, on this one, this time around?
Because like long time, like this really is a spiritual sequel to The Taken King in a way, because this is Oryk's sister, but Sabathun, the Witch Queen. And they've been building up this story over the past probably really couple years leading up to this moment where Sabathun finally 100% reveals herself. And you're now going to go to her throne world and just her impact throughout the whole quote unquote Destiny universe right now, because the Hive, she's basically taking the light, and the Hive is going to start being able to wield the light and use it against you. So it's and I'm not trying to deep dive into it too much, but it's exciting. Like the way I've been telling you for a while is, to me, this is really Destiny 3, even though this is still Destiny 2. To me, this is Destiny 3. Just some of the weapon crafting things that they're doing, they're leaning way more into the RPG aspects of the game. I'm excited for it. I'm really excited to jump in and play. Obviously there's going to be a new raid, they're going to new dungeon, things like that. But they're really, it's crazy that I've been playing this game since 2014 and I'm still excited to play it. You know what I mean? So yeah, really looking forward to Tuesday and jumping in and doing the Witch Queen. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, compared to like the previous expansion, I haven't really been seeing much promotion though. Do you think it's because,
I haven't really been seeing. Really? That's literally all I see.
Really? Oh, maybe wait, the algorithm, I think, just changed, because I barely see any promotion from the game, man. You know, I see tweets from people, but that's about it. I haven't seen any type of commercial. Maybe it's just me, but okay. All right. Well, everybody, Tuesday, the expansion comes out. Make sure to check it out. And also coming out this week, Paris, Elden Ring. Look, I'm going to keep it real, guys. I don't know what's the hype about this game. I really don't know. I want to read the reviews from everybody. Comes out hopefully closer to launch. If I plan to get this game, I'm gonna give it a try. But I just don't get the hype, Paris. I'm not against it. I don't hate the game or anything like that. I just don't get it. So I prefer to wait for the reviews from everybody else and see, hey, if it's gonna be good or not, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to go out and buy a game that I'm not hype about, man. You know what I'm saying? So
I mean, you know, I've been saying it for a while. It's not my type of game, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know, because I know a lot of people are super excited for it. So I get the excitement and the hype for it, but it's just not my cup of tea. It's not. And again, with like the Witch Queen, like, am I gonna bang my head against a wall playing a game that I'm not sure I'm not gonna like in Elden Ring, or am I gonna go play something I like in the Witch Queen? You see what I'm saying? So that's how I look at it.
Yeah, and I mean, but people are gonna say, "Hey, Paris, you play, you know, Returnal, it's something like that." But they're not challenging.
But it's not the same. This is not the same thing as Returnal. Like Returnal is a roguelike. This is not a rogue. Yeah. Elden Ring is not a roguelike.
Yeah. So this is the part that I want the fans, the people that are listening to this, I want you to send your short reviews to the podcast, and I'm gonna play it on the show, because I honestly, I don't know anything about the game. I'm not really, you know, excited. So please, if you plan to get the game, send us your review. I'll promise I'll post it on the podcast. I'll put it up. You know what I'm saying? I know Arctic is getting it. There's a couple people from our Discord channel that have been going back and forth talking about it. So please, send us your review. I'll post it on the show. How's that? There you go. All right, Paris. So we've been talking about this now for a couple months. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but They've been there's an interview with Ubisoft CEO, and during the interview, he says that that the company is going to stay independent, but and I quote, would review any buyout offers. Is that a hint, Paris, of, you know what, if Activision did it, we might do it too?
Yeah.
Do you see that?
I absolutely see it, for the simple fact that, and obviously the number has to be right, but yeah. You know, with all the controversy and things that have happened with Ubisoft for the past couple of years, this could almost just be an exit strategy. It's very similar to what Bobby Kotick just did with Activision. So it wouldn't, I don't think it's going to happen, full disclosure, but it wouldn't shock me if it happened. Let's put it that way.
Huh. Now, do you think a company like Ubisoft will be more expensive than Activision, or are you going to be
under? Way under. I actually saw the market cap a few weeks back. I mean, it's not even close. Like, it, way under what Activision would have gone for. Like, think more closer to Bethesda than Activision as far as market cap.
Really closer? I think Ubisoft is more expensive than Bethesda, though.
No, but it wasn't that much. I don't have it in front of me now, but I remember seeing.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, but it was maybe 10 billion, something like that. I could be wrong, but I know it wasn't that much more than Bethesda.
Look, I'll tell you what it is right now. I don't see Microsoft making this move anytime soon, because they want Activision to go through. If they start buying more companies left and right, more studios, that's when I think there's going to be a pause. Like, no, okay, this is too much. That's what I think. Do you agree with that, Paris?
Yeah, I just looked it up. Sorry. I was right. 10 billion.
10 billion. Wow.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wait, how much was Bethesda? Was
7.5.
7.5 billion.
Matter of fact, I'm looking right now. As of February 18th, 2022... Their value is $6.4 billion. Their market cap right now.
Hmm.
And it's gone down because it was in the sevens.
Ooh, I have a crazy question.
Their max market cap in the past 5 years was 13, and it was actually as low as 3.9 in 2017.
Hmm.
Yep.
My question to you, because I think this might happen. I'm not saying, you know, just one of those like crazy theories from us. So I heard that Apple is getting into the video game industry, right? Mm-hmm. They're getting into the video game business, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And they're working on a new console from Apple. And I believe, and this is what I read online, is that they're trying to recruit people from different companies, especially from Xbox, to also join the team and help work on this project. What if, Paris, Apple acquired Ubisoft? Would that be something interesting for you to make you want to buy the console, because now they have an exclusive studio, first party studio from Apple? Will you see something like that in the future happening? Because I think that would be interesting.
I don't think Ubisoft going exclusive to Apple would be enough for Apple to be successful coming into the market as a quote unquote console maker. If that were to happen, it would definitely take more than that. Obviously, it would be a great feather in their cap and give them a great start, but they would need more. They'd need more exclusive content than just Ubisoft titles.
More than just Ubisoft titles. I mean, they're probably going to have first party studios, not just.
That's what I'm saying. But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It would take more than just Ubisoft.
Hmm. So no Tom Clancy, no Assassin's Creed Avatar and all that. No, that's not enough.
Which,
okay. All
right. Which, yeah, which would be interesting. Well, yeah, it would take more, in my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Gamertag Radio. Listening to Gamertag Radio.
You know, earlier we talked about Stadia, Paris. I was going to bring this up, man. This whole Stadia thing reminded me of What was the name of that company that I think you were you purchased some games from? OnLive?
Yeah, OnLive. Was that? Yeah, OnLive was way too. Again, when we talk about digital store, people that would have bought games on OnLive, poof, gone. you have no access to any of those games. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And Google is notorious of shutting things down right away if it's not working business wise. It's like, well, let's remove it.
Yeah.
Like now they're trying to. I've been reading that they're trying to sell this to a different company now, and they're going to call it as Google Cloud or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They're basically making Stadia just a service, and other companies can leverage that service with cloud. It's interesting because I'm seeing in a chat. Someone's like, I don't think, they're talking about Apple. I don't think Apple would make a console. I think they would go to cloud gaming route. I'll say this, just like I said with Stadia, don't do it. Don't do it. That will not work. Cloud gaming right now as your only option to play ain't going to work. And Stadia not only did that, they also had a terrible business model as well with their subscription service. So no. No, absolutely not. If Apple were to try and quote unquote get into the gaming market, they would need something that you have local play as well, or at least have the option that, okay, even if I bought the game through the quote unquote Apple store, I could take that digital license, so to speak, and download the game through the Epic store or Steam or something. They would have to partner with someone else. There's no way you can only cloud game to play your game. It's just not going to work. Like even Amazon with Luna, it's not going to work as a standalone. There has to be some kind of local option somehow, some way.
So in other words, Microsoft has kind of found the formula of how it might work. Yeah. Having the cloud gaming,
yeah,
the business subscription, just the whole package.
Yeah. Right? And, I mean, in PlayStation with PlayStation Now, similar, mm-hmm. you know, it's, mm-hmm. We're not there yet, and we're not going to be there for a while where cloud gaming is the primary way that you play a game. As a supplement, as, hey, I'm in a pinch, I want to be able to jump in and do some stuff, yes. But as the primary way, no, we're not there. We're just simply not there. And I'm a big believer in cloud gaming, but not as the only way that you can play your games.
I got to give it to the fans, dude. I can't believe people actually bought games on Stadia. I just can't believe it. Cause
oh, you should.
Now what?
Oh, I have now a whole what? Section of people online that just absolutely that are just mad at me. They've been mad at me for years. They can't stand
still?
Me.
Still?
Oh, yeah.
Still?
Still.
No.
Still.
But that makes no sense. Why? But you were right.
I know I was right. And that's why. Because I was right. And I was very harsh with my critique early on that Stadia was not going to work.
Yo, if you go to Twitter, you see the replies. Yo, people were going after you. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, ooh. All right. So it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right. We're going to play this voicemail from the man himself, Keon. I think this is an interesting conversation. Interesting question. So we're going to play right now.
Hey, what's going on, Gamertag Radio? How are you brothers doing? This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I just had a really quick question for you guys. I'm trying to figure out what is everybody's fascination with Game Pass being on other platforms. I don't understand the in-game result, because if you're an Xbox fan, I don't know how putting Game Pass on another platform would benefit the Xbox console itself. Because if the service is on another platform, then what's the purpose or the use of having the actual Xbox? People want to talk about the money part of what Microsoft can do. I don't care about that money. The only reason why I would even care about the money that Microsoft is getting is because I would want them to have enough money to keep the Xbox division going. I don't know what that would do for competition as far as consoles go. I understand some people may say, well, games have to stand on their own. I get that. But what does that do for the competitive side of console gaming? You know, with one leaving the space and leaving maybe two, you might not get as much innovation. So, again, what's the end game with this? I don't understand why people are wanting this to happen. I don't see how this would push gaming forward. But I would love to get you guys' opinion on this. And with that being said, you guys have a good day and take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, but shout out to Keon. Thank you so much for sending the voicemail. You know what's the end game? More subscribers equals more money for the company. That's what it is. The industry has been changing for the past decade or so. Even before that, remember back in the days when it was like, you know, Super Nintendo versus Sega back in the early days, console wars and sending these consoles. And then we never predicted that Sega was going to go all, you know, the software side instead of the console side. That happened. It changed the industry. You know what I'm saying? So now even PlayStation with MLB The Show available now in multiple platforms is coming out for the first time for Nintendo Switch. That's different. Microsoft releasing games on the PC. You know, the industry has been changing, man. So the reason why Microsoft wants to get more subscribers is more money. It's more money for the company. And hopefully this will help to get more people into the service. Maybe this will help also for people to buy the consoles, to buy the games, etc. So that's why Xbox planning to do something like this in the future, man. You know, so if it happens, you know, having Game Pass on multiple platforms. So, Paris, do you agree with this? Your thoughts about all this, man?
Yeah, no, I agree with it. It's what we've been saying this for a while. I mean, the industry's changing. It's not about just the console anymore. It's about getting your ecosystem, so to speak, on as many platforms as possible. This is why you see the approach Xbox is doing with Game Pass. And then if you reverse, this is why you see PlayStation now experimenting with the PC. And we know they're coming with Spartacus. And while Spartacus isn't going to be on Xbox, I don't think, just like I don't think Game Pass is going to be on PlayStation, you are going to see it on PC. You're going to see it on mobile. This is where you leverage cloud as a supplement to be able to give people more smart TVs, all that stuff's happening, to give people more options on where they want to play their games. Let the gamer choose where they want to play versus you telling them where they have to play.
Yeah. Do you remember back in the early days, Paris, when Microsoft announced like, hey, okay, we're going to work on PC and release the games on console and PC? There was a lot of controversy. People were like, why are you doing this? Is this like a desperate move, or this is this and that, this and that? You know, you were the one of the first people that went to that event. I forgot what year was this.
2016 Spring Showcase in San Francisco.
So this is during the time that Quantum Break was coming out. Mm-hmm. They was launching for the PC and also for Xbox. People didn't get it during that time. They were very confused, like why Microsoft was making this move. Even let's go even back, even further, all the way in the back. Years ago, when Shadowrun came out, I think that was the first game that was available crossplay mm-hmm. for the first time, PC and console. And again, people during that time didn't get it either, man. So do you think people are just not used to all this stuff, or they're kind of confused about the business side, releasing multiple platforms or what?
Yeah, it's change. It's different. It's not what we've been used to the past, honestly, 40 years of gaming. So now that that's changing, you know, like we said, showing, you know, ecosystems on multiple platforms, cross play across the board for all these games, you know, when it comes to multiplayer stuff, it's just evolving. And I think from a consumer standpoint, you should want this to happen, because again, it puts you in control of where you play versus the publisher telling you where to play. So yeah, I'm all for it.
Yeah, totally agree. Same here. I think this is going to open the doors for more people to get into gaming, man. You know, in different ways.
Well, that's
mobile,
the point. Yeah.
Console. Yeah, yeah. Or even TV. You just get a controller playing. That's mm-hmm. it. You're good.
But you can do that right now. Like, I could literally walk out of my living room right now, fire up the GeForce Now app on my LG OLED, Bluetooth with the controller. I can play. You can do it right now. So this is the future. This is where it's headed.
Yeah. I can't wait. Can't wait for the future, man. So, all right, we're going to wrap it up here, guys. Thank you for listening to episode 1195 of Gamer Tag Radio, 17th anniversary this week, on Friday, I believe. That's the 25th of February. So I just want to say, before we wrap it up, thank you to everyone that still been supporting GTR, still listening, watching us on Twitch, following us on Twitter, everywhere, man. It means a lot to us. We've been, having a blast with this, man. Look, we've been very, very busy with personal stuff, But we try our best to release our weekly episodes as much as we can, man. So thank you. Thank you for the support, everyone, man. Paris, you want to say anything else before we wrap it up?
No, just co-sign everything you're saying, man.
All right, that's awesome. All right, everyone, head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You can also find us on any podcast app. Make sure to post a review. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Super easy. It takes a few seconds of your time. Go for it. Review, and follow us too. Now, if you'd like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, guys, I'm planning to be at DICE. It's not a major industry event. It's very, very small. It's a summit. You know, I'm probably going to be recording some content over there from Las Vegas, so stay tuned for that. And until next time, guys, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.